You're listening to Living Stones Community Church Podcast. For more information about Living Stones, just check out our website at lsccc.com. Have a great day. God bless.
Copy of Scripture, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you didn't get a note page and you'd like one, just raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Some fill in the blank forms. Anybody need one? There's one up here, two up here, three. So just keep your hand raised and they'll get it to you. We began a series last week that we're calling Better. And we're looking at some of the big choices that many of us don't even know that we're making. And what's so important about this, right over here, Clayton. What's so important about this is that these choices are actually setting the framework for who we are and who we will become. Because when it comes down to it, who you are today at this moment is a direct result of the choices that you made in the past. And essentially, who you will become will be determined by the decisions and choices that you're making today. And so the challenge in the coming weeks is for us to begin to make better choices so that we can experience God's best in our lives. And there are four big areas that we'll look at. Next week, we're going to talk about those of us that are control freaks. Anybody got anybody like that living in your home? Yeah, no, joking. But anyway, yeah, me right here. And so we're going to look at that next week and learning to choose surrender over control. But today we're going to look at a struggle that's really common, and it's a struggle that has to deal with the approval of others. And as many of you know, I remember this being a huge struggle in my life. And one of the reasons came, I mentioned it in the membership class this morning, is because I was raised in a home where we moved every two or three years. My dad wasn't in the military, but he was a pastor. And so we moved every two or three years from Corpus Christi, Texas, to Alaska, to Washington State, to back all over Texas. And so every two or three years, we would move. Just as I was getting settled into a place and kind of getting to know a community and having friends, that uproot us and would move us somewhere else. And so as a result, I struggled in this area. And really, at the root of my struggle was that I wanted to be accepted. And the truth is that's not just a want for us. We all have the need, like we have need for food and shelter. All of us have a common need to be loved and accepted. And sometimes, especially when we're younger, we can do some pretty goofy things to gain the acceptance and approval of others. And as I was thinking about this, I'm trying to tell you stories that I don't tell you 100 times. There's one story that I never told you that had to do with my younger brother. And we were living in Mount Pleasant, Texas at the time. And he was in the first grade. And so there was a cute little girl in his class that he was trying to get her attention of. And so he had this bright idea to get her attention in order to get her acceptance and approval. As he had this idea that he was going to do some things to kind of get her attention. And the one thing he decided to do was to try to balance a pencil on his nose. Keegan, you ought to try this next week. And so he's trying to, I don't know if he thought he was a seal or what, but he was trying to balance a pencil on his nose. And it fell off his nose and hit on the corner of a desk. And as he went down to get it, your instinct, it poked him right in the eye. And, I mean, almost put his eye out. I mean, we have a video of it, home movies, his eyes swelled up all black and everything. And he did all that trying to get the approval of a girl. And that's kind of funny now looking back on that. But now that he still has eyesight, but the truth is that we can even carry those kind of things into an adulthood where we're looking for the acceptance and the approval of others. In fact, early on in ministry, I struggled with wanting everyone to like me, to approve me, but I learned pretty quick that I wasn't going to please everybody. Have you noticed that? You're not going to please everyone. And if I was going to be who God created me to be and lead in the way that he had created me to lead, that I couldn't live for the approval of man. I couldn't live for the approval of others. And that's not just true for me, that's true for you as a Christ follower, that as Christians, our calling above everything is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. That's a call for every one of us. That's the first calling of every follower of Jesus, to love Jesus and to put Him first in our lives. So just imagine that being the primary focus of your life. Imagine being so consumed with loving and pleasing God that the approval of other people didn't mean so much to you. Imagine waking up every day with passion and purpose in your life, knowing that down deep, you're doing what you were created to do. That's what drives you. That's what you live for. And the approval of others doesn't distract you. Now watch this. That's not just preacher talk, and that's not just a fantasy. It's a possibility. That's not a fantasy. It's a possibility. And not only is it possible, but I believe that's what God wants from every single one of us. It's the better choice that I'm going to encourage you to make this morning. And at the root of this choice is choosing purpose over approval, or maybe another way of saying that is choosing purpose over popularity. And here's the pushback for that. The problem with that is that for many of us, by default, we choose the opposite. We choose popularity or the approval of others over purpose. And I believe that part of our problem has to do with not knowing what the purpose is for our lives, because what happens so many times in our lives, in people's lives, is when they don't know God's purpose for their life, they'll end up experimenting with it and never do what God had created them to do. The problem is that many of us don't know the purpose of God in our lives, and instead of looking to God, to the one who created us, to discover our purpose, we oftentimes look to people around us, to those around us, for our validation and our approval. And before long, without even knowing it, we can literally begin to live for the approval of others, constantly striving and wondering, do I fit in? Am I good enough? Do I measure up? Consumed with what other people think, giving little or no thought to what God thinks and what He created us for. The problem with living for the approval of others is that it will keep you from the purposes of God. And the fastest way to forget what God thinks about us is to be obsessed and consumed with what other people think of us. As long as we're consumed with the approval of others, we won't be living the purposes of God. And the challenge before us this morning is to choose purpose over popularity. And there's a great example of this in Scripture, a guy by the name of Moses. And though he's an Old Testament guy, the Hebrews writer in Hebrews 11 speaks about Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, a little bit of backstory here. You remember that Moses was a guy who was born as a Hebrew slave. But he was essentially adopted into Pharaoh's family. And so that this guy who was born into poverty and slavery ended up living in lavish royalty and extravagance. We're going to see that even though he could have chosen a life of comfort, he instead chose calling over comfort. And though he could have easily given into popular opinion, he chose purpose over popularity. The story is found chapter 11, verse 24. If you want to read with me, it says this: by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice what he did, verse 26. He chose. Say that with me. He chose, say it again, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He did the hard thing. He did the thing that rarely you see done these days. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin. And verse 26 says, he regarded, or another way of saying that, he considered disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value. And I couldn't say greater value without thinking about Walmart. Greater value. Greater value. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. He chose purpose over popularity and calling over comfort. And before we go any further, I want to kind of demystify and disarm the word purpose here, because a lot of times people get hung up and freaked out and consumed with what we're going to call the capital or big P purpose. You know, the purpose that talks about what's my purpose? Why am I here? Well, what's the big thing that I was created for? Purpose with a capital P. And so many people can get so caught up on trying to figure out the big P that they miss out on the little P purposes in life. And for right now, for this morning, I don't want us to talk about the big P purpose. I want us to instead look at the little P, about what that video made reference to, about being present. About being present as it relates to purpose. Think about the day after day, moment by moment, being present to fulfill God's little purposes for now, for this time, for that person, for this season. Because God has called you and me to be present in the moment that as we're going through life, that we recognize the little P purposes for why God has you and me where we are. At this moment, He wants to use you to meet a need, to be an encouragement, and to be a voice of someone, to be that voice of challenge and a voice of reason for someone to be present. We don't need to get so hung up on big P purpose that you miss out on the little P purpose, because what you'll discover as you follow Jesus is that the more you're seeking after Him, the more you're loving Him with your heart, soul, and mind, the more you're walking in the Spirit and you're tuning to God through prayer, you're going to see that God wants you to be present and involved in the moment. That there is a little P purpose for you to accomplish, and as you faithfully, day in and day out, fulfill that purpose, then what you'll discover many times is that all of a sudden you'll recognize that God is trusting you with way more, with those big P, big capital P moments. Why? Because if you're faithful in the small things, God will trust you in the big things. And over time, you'll start to grow into that, and you'll begin to see that how God is using you in more significant ways. And something that may have started out as a little P purpose over time begins to turn into, this is what I was created for. There's power in that. There's power in being present, recognizing that God has called you and created you to make a difference. There's power in purpose. And I believe from Scripture, where we're going to see specifically, there's three things that knowing purpose does for us. And the first one is this, is that purpose diminishes distractions. It diminishes distractions. And for many people, one of the biggest distractions that we have is comparing our lives to the lives of others, of constantly always worrying, what do they think about me? What are they doing? Why am I not married? Why don't I have kids? And the curse of comparing is that one day we'll wake up and we'll realize that we missed out on so many God opportunities along the way. And purpose reduces that. It diminishes all of those different distractions. And a great example of this is a guy in the Old Testament by the name of Nehemiah. And there's a passage there that's one of my favorite passages. If you don't know the story, it's a great book. In fact, if you're a leader of any kind, there's some great leadership principles in Nehemiah. But if you don't know the story, Nehemiah was living away from his hometown, and he had gotten news that the walls of Jerusalem where he lived had been torn down. And so he was heartbroken and anguished that the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down, and the people were being in disgrace. They were living in disgrace. And he said, I can't stand this. Somebody's got to do something about this, and it might as well be me. Kind of just a side note right here. Anytime you find yourself really upset about something, like righteously angry, it could be a sign that there could be purpose around it, that you are supposed to be part of bringing change and hope into a certain situation. When it begins to bug you, when it begins to, there's something like this, a righteous anger that kind of raises up within you, it could be that God wants to use you to help address that situation. Nehemiah says, I've had all I can stands, and I can't stands no more, to put it in the Popeye terms. And he goes back to Jerusalem, and he rallies the people to do something that was considered to be impossible. And one of my favorite parts of the story is found in Nehemiah 6. He's up on the wall, and he's rebuilding along with the people, and he's working away, putting stone after stone in place, and two of his enemies, the two of the enemies of God's plan, Sanballat and Tobias, show up, and they begin to start shouting up to him, shouting insults up to him. And start saying, you're wasting your time, that this isn't going to happen, that what you're trying to do is impossible, it's useless. They were trying to distract and discourage Nehemiah and the people of God, which, have you noticed that any time you set your mind to do something for God, to do something great for God, there always seems to be resistance? I mean, you commit to serve, you commit to start growing in your faith, to start reading Scripture and to getting in the Word day in, day out, and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose in your house. Are you commit to giving and tithing, to honor God with the first fruits of your life, that you're going to bless Him because He's blessed you so much, and so you commit to start giving and tithing, and then that week the washing machine goes out? Or you commit to start leading a small group, and then you just get crazy busy at work. There's always something. Nehemiah is working away, doing what God has called him to do. And as he's working, the voices of doubt and discouragement are streaming up at him. And he's rebuilding the wall, and these two Yehus are trying to distract him, to get him to come off the wall to meet with them. Basically, he looks down at him. He says, I ain't got time for that. In Nehemiah, verse 3, chapter 6, he says, I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. In other words, I'm fulfilling God's purpose in this moment and I can't be distracted by your opinion. I don't care about what you think. I'm doing what God has called and created me to be and your voice and to do, and your voice isn't going to stop me from doing. And somebody here this morning needs to hear that. You need to internalize that and let that become a part of your inner voice, that I'm doing a great work. This is what God has called me to do. And it may not seem real big right now, but I'm going to be faithful right now. I'm going to be present in the moment. And over time, God may reward me. I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. And you have to remind yourself of that, because very, very often, many times, what we do, what God calls us to the day in, day out, seems very minute and mundane. So it's little p purposes that seem mundane. Maybe for you it's getting out of debt. Everybody around you makes fun of you because you bring a brown sack lunch every week and they're going out, they're making fun of you for driving that old car. But for you, it's what God has called you to do. And you remind yourself, I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. I'm not giving in to popular opinion. Maybe yours is staying pure physically until you're married and everybody around you says, man, that's for the old day, that's old fashioned, what are you thinking? But you say, I've got a higher calling. God has called me to something better, and I have a vision for something special and something different. If you want to go after normal, go for it, but I'm committed to doing what God's called me to do. I'm doing a great work, I can't come down. For some, it's parenting. And you take that serious. I mean, have you noticed it's a whole lot easier to raise these kids than it is to pop them out? Many times I'll ask, we were at dinner the other night, and you know, they were talking about, the couple we were eating with were talking about, you know, all the stuff they're having to do with their kids. We should have thought of that before you had all those kids. It's like we did. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that involves going into parenting. I mean, you don't just have kids and automatically become a good parent. I mean, it takes work. And so you're one of those that really takes it seriously, not just having kids, because everybody has, but it's having kids. And you see your purpose as the mom and dad in that, you take that seriously. And the challenge before you, you kind of see it as a calling, that this is what God's called me to do right now. And it seems so mundane. It seems like all I ever do is wipe butts and change diapers and do the laundry. And there's times when you feel like that you're coaching and you're encouraging and you're saying the same thing over and over again, and it gets weary, but you remind yourself, what I'm doing right now will matter 10 years, 10, 20 years from now. It's going to matter what I'm doing. I'm doing a great work. I'm doing something by investing in my children, investing in the next generation, in the middle of where God called me to be. Yeah, I can't come down. I'm doing what God's called me to do. And right now my golf game may have to go on the shelf because I've got to be present with my kids. Right now I don't have time for all the extracurricular things out there because right now my family is where I'm supposed to be present in. Man, we need more parents like that. If we're going to make a difference in this world, and dads, you need to be taking the lead in that. You need to be taking the lead. In the middle of where God has called me, I can't come down. And that person, that purpose, knowing that purpose diminishes distraction. That this is what I'm called to do in this moment. I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. There's power in purpose. I'm not living for the approval of people or what's popular in this culture around me. I'm living for the purposes of God. Power diminishes distractions. Number two, purpose pushes you through the pain. Purpose diminishes distractions. Purpose pushes you through the pain. It gives you a motivation to keep going. Because here's what I've noticed is that the pathway to your purpose is always paved with pain. The pathway to your purpose is always paved with pain. David, as I was thinking about, David, you awake, David? Yeah, David Patterson here. He was praying for me. I saw him. But anyway, you know, I thought of you this morning. How many years ago did you go to Nicaragua the first time? 99, that's been a few years back. And so, first time he went to Nicaragua, somebody talked him into it, and he was there not even 24 hours before he's sitting there thinking, this is the biggest mistake I've ever made. I'm miserable, you know, can't sleep, all this kind of stuff, and I'm having to deal with that Diet Coke and all that kind of stuff. And he said, man, if I can just, in fact, you tried to buy a plane ticket to go back early, right? You're threatened, yeah. Long story short, he stayed there. Now he's on the board of Project Hope, where he's been a countless number of times. He had to push through the pain. And many times the pathway of your purpose is always paved with pain. Every single time and without exception, there's pain involved. It was for Moses, it was for David and Esther and Mary, and it certainly was for Jesus. And it will be for us as well. Because whenever you're doing what God's called you to do, your enemy will resist you. Your spiritual enemy will resist you to try to get you to quit. And what I've discovered over the years is that I don't need to worry about those times when I'm being resisted. I need to be worrying about the times where I'm not being resisted. And I don't go looking for it. I just know that if I'm doing what God has called me to do, that not everybody around me is going to agree with it, and for sure the enemy's not going to agree with it. And there will be resistance. And so you just kind of recognize that with your purpose, there will be some pain. And along with that, that you're going to realize that this is better, and there's greater value in serving God's purposes than living for the approval of man and taking the easy way out. And every now and then, I will suffer for my purpose. Every now and then, as I'm serving God, the enemy or people around me may take shots at me. Every now and then it will cost me something. But that's okay, because what Jesus did for me, what it cost him so that I could be free, is more than I could ever imagine. So every now and then I don't mind a little resistance, I don't mind a little pain, and my purpose, knowing my purpose, pushes me through it. I've got a higher calling. And when you recognize that, critics can't stop you, and opposition doesn't deter you, and pain doesn't slow you down, because you realize that you were created for this. This may be a little P purpose moment, but it's something that God has called you to do. And you're going to be faithful to what God's called you to be. Number three, purpose empowers you to please God. Purpose empowers you to please God. And this is what Moses tapped into, because as he was serving God. There was all kinds of oppositions. He faced it from his enemies. He faced it from Pharaoh. He faced it from his own people who complained like a middle school girl. But the purpose empowered him to keep going. Why? Because he was trying to please God. That's what God had called him to do. This is what God created him to do. And you can't talk me out of what God has called me to do. Much like Peter and John and some of the apostles, when they were preaching in the name of Jesus, and some of the religious leaders came up to him and said, "You guys can't do that anymore. You've got to stop preaching in that name." By this time, they had already been beaten. They had already been put in prison, but it didn't stop them. What's interesting to me today is that 2,000 years later, it's the same name that everybody gets riled up about. I mean, you can talk about God, you can talk about a higher power or supreme being all day long on daytime television, but if you bring up the name of Jesus, people begin to freak out. Why? Because it's a name above every name. That there's no other name by which we will be saved. One day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess at the name of Jesus. And so they told that to the disciples, that you can't talk in that name, you can't preach in that name, you can't tell them about that name. And they basically looked at the religious leaders and they said, "We can't help but talking about it." In other words, when you've been so transformed as we've been transformed, when you've been forgiven as we've been forgiven, when you've seen with your own eyes what he did, what he does, you can't stop us from talking in his name. I mean, you can beat us and we'll come back. You can put us in jail. But remember the last time you did that, some angels showed up and broke us out. You can try to kill us. And if you do, they're going to continue to preach in your name. They said it in Acts 5:29. They said, "We must obey God rather than man." Why? Because we're not here to please man. I mean, we've tried it. I mean, even if we were here, it's impossible to please men. I mean, we kill ourselves trying to please everybody around us. That there are days when I get so consumed with it. But God hadn't called me to be a man pleaser. He's called me to live for him, to please him. And when I live to please people, it keeps me from the purposes of God. And on my best day, I'll never please everybody. But here's one thing I can do. I won't be able to please man, but I can please God. I can't please everybody, but I can please God. And you say, "Dan, how do you do that?" And here's how. Whenever you live by faith, you please God. Whenever you're obedient and faithful in the small things, we please God. Grant, would you make your way up here? Whenever we die to ourselves and let Christ live through us, we please God. And one of the most freeing moments that you'll ever experience is when you recognize the reason you were created. The reason you were created is to love and to please God. And when that really sinks in, then suddenly it sets you free from the opinions of others. Because we were made by God and for God. We were created on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. And until you realize that, you'll wear yourselves out trying to achieve and please and impress. And you may momentarily obtain those things, but it won't last. And you'll spend your days always striving to please everyone. Or you can choose, like Moses, to please God. Or like Nehemiah, you can determine to stay focused and say, "I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm on a wall and I ain't coming down. I'm going to do what God's called me to do." And that's what drives me. 5 or 6 weeks ago, I was talking to Grant Kristen, and he told me just a little bit. There was a job possibility that had come up, and I asked him about it, and he kind of shared it with me, and it's kind of what birthed this series. But I want Grant to tell the story, just a decision, because it will kind of give application. So this is Grant, his wife is Kristen back there, their son Asher.
I'm Grant. Recently I'd been getting pretty bored with my job. for probably 6 months starting last June. I just was really, really bored, and I don't deal well with boredom. I need a challenge. And the company had treated me really well, so I really wasn't one to leave. But then in January, we'd had a bad fiscal year the year before, and our CEO sent out an email to everybody saying that we were going to have layoffs in January and February and March. And so I thought, well, maybe it's time to go. So I started looking at a job that day. It was a company that I've really always been excited about. It's a high-tech company with consumer electronics. I was like, man, that would be really cool to work at. They sent me their benefits package, and they have way better pay. They have way better health insurance. They had way better vacation. So I'm like, man, well, this is a no-brainer. So I went ahead and applied. At that point, though, I was kind of thinking maybe this would just be a backup plan. You know, if I don't get laid off, I'll stay where I'm at. But if I do get laid off, I have a backup plan. So I got an interview just on the phone, and it went really well. A day later, they said, hey, we'd love for you to come out to the campus and interview. And by this time, it's becoming less of a backup plan and more of a, oh man, it would be really nice to get paid more, because Kristen had just resigned to quit at the end of the year to take care of our little guy. So it's like the little extra money would help. So I was really starting to lean towards taking this job if it was offered to me. One verse, though, that God had given me throughout all this was Psalm 33, 10 and 11. It said, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. So that was giving me peace through all this, that, you know, I was wanting to take this job. Wasn't sure if it's the right thing yet, but I knew that God's plan would come through and not my own. So after the on-campus interview that went really well, I thought, you know what, I'm going to take this job. I'd been seeking advice from my dad, lots of other people I trusted. Nobody thought there were red flags. The only bad thing was it was in Olathe, so I'd be driving an hour to work and an hour back, which I thought, you know what, I'll go in early. I can come back early, won't miss too much time with my son. It'll be just fine, rationalizing it because I really wanted that more money. But then one night, I was laying in bed, and I started to realize all that I was going to be missing. At the time, he was actually sleeping past 4. So I would get up though at 5:30, and I would read my Bible. I'd take care of him. I'd walk the dog. I'd have just kind of an hour before Kristen got up. And I just really cherished that time, the time with God, the time with my son, even just with my dog. And I realized if I'm leaving early, I'm going to miss all this. I'm going to not have time to spend with God. I'm not going to have time to spend with my son. And that just hit me hard. And I went to bed thinking about that. And the next morning, I got up. He was still sleeping, which never happens anymore. And I pulled open a devotional that I hadn't read since, I think, the June before. It's dated. So I pulled it open to February 15th, which was that day. And it was titled Walking by Faith, and it was based on Hebrews 11:1. And the sentence that really stuck out to me was, risk, another word for faith, reveals your hope or values. You only take risks in areas that you consider to be of value. And that just hit me like a freight train, thinking, what am I showing by this risk? I'm willing to risk, you know, this time to go get a cool job, to get more money, but it was showing that I wasn't valuing my time with God or my time with my son or with my wife. And so at that point, I realized I was just valuing the wrong things. And so I decided not to take the job. I called the next day and withdrew my application. And then the cool thing that kind of tied it all together was I went into my boss the day after that and said, hey, Mike, I'm really bored. Is there anything else I can do? And it turns out for the past 3 weeks, he had been talking with our director of engineering about me taking a leadership position elsewhere in the company. That would be a new challenge. So unbeknownst to me, all this was happening, and it really just worked out together. But I was really grateful that I was able to make the choice trusting in God rather than trusting in just because they were going to give me a new job at my place. So it was really neat to see God work in that.
What are you giving your life to? Stand to your feet. Father, I just come to you this morning. And God, I know this is kind of a common thing that we intermittently talk about around here all the time, but God, there's some of us that just need to be reminded that you've called us on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. We just need to be reminded of that. And God, thank you for just an example of with Grant and Kristen. And God, by faith, them taking a step of faith, them taking a risk, and God, you honoring that. God, what you always give us is better than what the world has to offer. It's better. So God, may we leave today. God, may we begin to have those discussions with our families, with our friends. God, just areas, here's an area where I need to begin to start choosing. Choosing God more than choosing man. Choosing God more than choosing what's popular in our culture. Here's some things we need to order. We need to order our lives in such a way that we're more available, that we're giving God the best instead of giving him the leftovers. So Father, whatever the next step needs to be in our lives, God, would you just speak that clearly to us? And may we be obedient. May we be obedient. Because you can't please man, but we can please God. So God, I just pray, Father, this week, God, that you would just order our steps. God, that we'd begin to see people around us. We'd begin to see situations, those areas that maybe we're just looking at the surface things. Instead, we look a little bit deeper and say, okay, we kind of do what Grant and Kristen did, where they kind of say, okay, if I make that choice, yeah, here's an upside to that, but here's some things that really have value to it, that have a greater value than making more money. So God, give us the wisdom, give us the power to choose to bless you, to choose the path that's better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great day. Thank you for being here. Men, we'll see you Wednesday night.